It's a wake-up call in more ways than one. Time for some you need to know.
Well, this is a nice way to start Pride Month, isn't it? An Appleton man was arrested yesterday, first day, after allegedly removing a Pride flag outside the Outagamie County downtown campus and pouring gasoline on it. According to the county sheriff's office, the man took down the flag, placed it on the ground in a parking lot, and began covering it with gasoline. Deputies intervened and arrested the man before he was able to set the flag on fire. Suspect was taken into custody and booked into the Outagamie County County Jail. Authorities say the investigation remains ongoing. Seems pretty cut and dry. But county officials quickly replaced the flag and emphasized that the incident does not reflect the values of the community. Outagamie County leaders said they remain committed to supporting the LGBTQ plus community and promoting inclusion, respect, and belonging for all residents. I mentioned this at the beginning of the show when we were talking about Pride Month. I can't understand why there are still such closed-minded people out there who feel the need to do this. There's no justification.
Well, the Bible.
No. That's not it. Because Jesus said, love everybody. So let's cut out the Bible stuff and just realize that there's some narrow-minded, really, pardon me, really ignorant people out there.
Yes.
Because why else do you do this? What does it matter? It doesn't affect you. Who cares? If you don't like gay people, lesbian people, anybody in that community, then don't be one. They're not bothering you.
No.
Just by existing, they're not bothering you.
In fact, like everybody else, they're just trying to live the same life
you
are, right?
And they
don't really need you to continue to point out that their life might be a little bit harder or it's just a reminder of why we have Pride Month, or why we commemorate some of these different groups, these different organizations, these different minority communities. This is why, because this is why we do it.
People like this, and people have been marginalized and harassed for forever.
Yes,
and just because now all anybody is saying is treat everybody the same.
Yes. Absolutely.
It basically comes down to it. It doesn't matter. Racism, bigotry, homophobia. Just treat everybody the same. If you treat everybody the same, it's so much easier because then you don't have to remember who you have to hate and who you have to treat one way and who you have to marginalize.
It's also easier when you just leave the house because you don't have to ask any questions.
It's true.
It's just easy. Just treat everybody the same because when you leave the house, no questions asked. You go about your business. They go about their business. And everybody just copacetically mingles among the world. Life is hard enough.
But, Jamie, I can't wear a rainbow T-shirt or people think I'm gay. All right, Cletus, how many rainbow T-shirts were you wearing before?
Well, I would never wear a rainbow T-shirt.
Okay, then shut up.
In other headlines from Stuff You Need to Know, it turns out that beef prices have now reached record highs, with the average price of a pound of beef hitting $9.64 nationwide. Steak prices are up about 16% from a year ago, while ground beef prices have risen more than 14%. Experts say years of drought have reduced cattle herds across the country. Higher feed costs and other expenses have made it difficult for farmers to expand production. Despite these higher prices, demand for beef remains strong. In fact, Americans continue to buy large amounts of beef, and demand is at its highest level in at least 25 years. Wisconsin has nearly 13,000 farms involved in beef production, but most are small operations with fewer than 20 cattle. An aging farm population is also creating challenges. Many producers are nearing retirement age, and the high cost of buying cattle makes it difficult for younger farmers to enter the industry. Experts expect beef prices to remain elevated for at least the next couple of years because ranchers are rebuilding the herds, which takes time before more cattle actually reach the market.
I blame all those gym rats who need protein.
Oh,
we got to eat protein.
First
a lot of protein.
That goes through my mind, too. Yep.
Parker eats like a pound of beef just during the show.
That's not that far from true.
I know. You're all about protein and fruit snacks.
That's right.
It's true.
That's what the young people run on.
Diet of champions. Hey,
that's right.
More as you need to know. Destination Door County awards $318,000 in grants to 5 projects to advance accessibility, history, and culture in Door County. Those groups are receiving a total of $318,852 in the latest round of Community Investment Fund grants from Destination Door County, the Peninsula's Visitor Marketing Bureau. The 5 new awards mean the program has contributed more than $3.7 million to 71 projects across Door County since it began these quarterly grants in May of 2023. Awards in this cycle, which is the 13th, went to a school district, a local government, 2 nonprofits, friends groups, and 1 nonprofit art organization. To be eligible for the awards, projects need to meet specific requirements because the funds for the program come from room tax collections that overnight visitors to the county pay at Destination Door County receives as part of its agreement with the Door County Tourism Zone Commission. Winning the grants this cycle are Southern Door School District, Gibraltar Historical Association, Friends of Plum and Pilot Islands, Town of Egg Harbor, and Friends of the Door County Park System. So congratulations to those groups on their big grants. Hopefully they use them well.
Yeah,
I'm sure they will.
Yeah, absolutely. Door County. Every time I hear a story about Door County, it just makes me think of the fact that I need to get back up there. It is a truly special, beautiful place.
You know, there's a lot of, we could go broadcast from the Goats on the Roof joint.
We could, absolutely.
Get you some Goats on the Roof.
That's right. They have some good lingonberry jam over at the Goats on the Roof place, by the way.
Goats on the Roof, I can't remember the name. I just, you know, and nobody needs the name. Everybody knows exactly what I'm talking about.
It's like the Al Johnson or something like that. I can't remember. I'll have to look it up. But anyway, I was just there last fall, but there were no Goats on the Roof. There were fake Goats on the Roof, which was very disappointing for me.
The real Goats were on strike.
They were.
Interesting
so.
Fact. Yes, they cut back on their hay and their feed because it was all going to Frank's Rabbit.
I was so excited that there were just fake goats on a roof.
Al Johnson's Swedish restaurant.
There we go. Yeah. That's right.
Thank
lingonberry.
You, Parker.
Get your lingonberry jam, folks.
There's another place, too.
Yes.
There's one that's like a silo and there's a ramp that goes around.
Yes.
I saw recently.
Yeah. I've heard of that one. I haven't obviously ever
I'll
been.
Figure out what that
okay,
is.
Okay. Figure that one out because we do have a bigger story that we got to get into this morning.
Bigger than pie?
Our story is not as good. But
all right.
I would rather talk about pie, quite honestly, because this
you're right. These are big.
This is pretty gross. So it turns out that the Minnesota Republican Party is taking a little heat right now because they had their state convention last weekend in Duluth. And after they took a moment of silence, I have to pause and choose my words carefully here this morning. They took a approved moment of silence for Derek Chauvin. If you remember that name, he was the former Minneapolis police officer convicted in the 2020 murder of George Floyd. Now, this tribute, Brian, took place during the party's convention. And there are reports that a delegate proposed this moment of silence from the convention floor, and it was approved by attendees through an informal vote. And leaders at the convention, and we're talking about the state Republican leaders, then conducted a brief 10-second moment of silence for Derek Chauvin.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, a spokesman for the Minnesota GOP said that in an email that, quote, "The moment of silent prayer was a spontaneous motion brought forward from the convention floor and was not held at the direction of party leadership, including the Rep. Danny Nadeau, who the Reformer newspaper reports had earlier asked the delegate not to bring the motion forward." So it doesn't matter whether it was there or not. The fact that there are some people who would have the audacity to do this, to look at a man who's been convicted of murder, who we all watched him kill George Floyd. Now, if you want to argue about what happened afterward, or if you have strong feelings on that, that's your right.
Mm-hmm.
But to look at this and somehow treat a murderer as someone who is due the respect of your political party, and then wonder, gee, how come people don't respect the Republican Party anymore? I don't know. Maybe this?
Chauvin is currently serving more than 22 years in prison. He was convicted by a jury of his peers on second-degree murder, third-degree murder, and manslaughter. That was all in state court. And Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison, as you can imagine, he led the prosecution of the Chauvin case. He has strongly condemned this tribute, as we'll call it. He says that honoring Chauvin was hurtful to Floyd's family. It's disrespectful to the law enforcement officers who serve honorably. And it also ignored that the verdict was reached by a jury and upheld through the appeals process, because Chauvin has appealed multiple times where that conviction has been upheld each and every time, and he has not been released from prison.
Hey, dude, we saw you do it.
Right.
We all saw you.
Yes.
It's not one eyewitness, Idija. The world is the eyewitness to your crime.
When did we start normalizing these things, though? When did we start normalizing that full murder in public view was okay?
Because the murder became a political volleyball. It was, you know, first it was there's outrage that somebody had been killed. Then it's victim blaming. You know, well, George Floyd's record and George Floyd this. Then it was, look at what these protesters are doing. This is, and so instead of looking at this as what it was, police misconduct and murder, it turned into, now it's going to be a political statement.
Yeah.
It should, the only political statement that should have come out of this is police reform. We must have police reform.
Yes.
But it turned into us versus them. It was, look at what the Democrats and the liberals are allowing to happen in our cities. They're cordoning off areas to protest. And you know why? Because, and then it, then the Black Lives Matter thing started. Why don't all lives matter? I don't know. If you make that argument, you deserve a crack in the back of the head.